The issue of homelessness touches all of us, from our tax dollars to our healthcare system, from faith communities to our business community. As we continue our week-long series, Homeless in Plain Sight, today KJZZ's Christina Estes investigates how businesses and neighborhoods are impacted.
This year is actually our 60th anniversary.
AJ Marston lives in Phoenix's Pasadena neighborhood.
We have 350 homes. Our boundaries are 7th Avenue to 15th Avenue, Camelback to Missouri.
AJ says her neighbors are just as wonderful as when she moved in 16 years ago, but the area around them has changed.
Not as safe, not as comfortable. At first I could still compartmentalize it and say, oh, well, that's 19th and Camelback. I'm at 7th and Camelback. So I could still distance myself a little bit, but then the same situations were happening at 7th and Camelback.
They started seeing more panhandlers and people camping at bus stops. Behind their homes, AJ says they find human waste, needles, condoms, and sometimes people sleeping.
One neighbor startled a homeless person when the homeowner was taking out the trash, and the homeless person did slash them a little bit with a knife.
It's little consolation, but AJ says through her work with Phoenix's Blockwatch Advisory Board, she's learned the problem stretches across the city.
Almost every neighborhood mentions panhandling homeless of some sort.
Come on in.
Near 23rd Avenue and Northern.
So I started working here when I was 13.
Monica Miranda and her brother David Valdivia manage Los Compadres, the family's restaurant.
Business opened up in 86. I was born that year. I used to tell people I was born in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Since the recession, Monica says the area has been flooded with people who are homeless.
And they're surrounded by people like them, so they've developed camps, they've developed little groups of people they move along with, and they just shuffle back and forth down this couple mile stretch of road.
But sometimes they stop, and sometimes it gets ugly.
Our customers, like little old ladies, getting their purse snatched. My brother literally has chased down people to get the purse back down the parking lot. You know, we have beggars, like people out there just literally grabbing money and hands out from customers in and out the door all day long.
It forced this family to get into the policing business. They posted no trespassing signs and filed paperwork allowing cops to arrest offenders.
We've committed to making sure every time we see someone hanging out, we push them through, get them through. You know, no, you gotta go. You're gonna call the cops every time.
They don't do it because they're heartless, but because they care about their business and community.
Dave and I are fifth generation natives to Arizona and fourth to Phoenix.
If we just upped and left and said, you know, we'll forget this neighborhood, well, then we're just leaving it for someone else.
Right.
Then we're just leaving the issue
and
there.
And what does that say for like our legacy or our family's legacy?
Reputation also matters to businesses downtown.
There was like two or three incidents that happened that raised an alarm. It triggered DPI to just take a next step in our outreach.
Chris Spale is an ambassador for Downtown Phoenix, Inc. They're the people wearing orange shirts, answering questions and giving directions. For the past 6 months, Chris has been working with Tim McCann.
I'm the peer support and outreach services manager for Community Bridges.
Once a week, they hit the streets to share information and encourage people to accept services.
You all right today?
All right.
On this day, they talk with a man who was booted from his regular spot outside a donut shop after getting into an argument with firefighters.
Like I said, bro, no better time than now, man. Because this is going to happen again. You're going to get frustrated with people moving you on.
Leave all this behind?
And he's not kidding, though. That's the whole thing. He's not kidding. I mean, leave all this, people giving me something, I sit here, I'm good.
Out of 7 interactions I observed, only one person seemed receptive. And that's a victory for this duo. Since teaming up, Tim says,
we haven't had to call a crisis response team out here in the past at least 2 months. Where in the beginning, we were calling them out here once or twice, sometimes 3 times a week.
All right, have a great afternoon and take care.
Back at Los Compadres restaurant, Monica and David say panhandlers are getting the message, thanks to the no trespassing signs and police response. While in the Pasadena neighborhood, AJ is still waiting for the day when she feels safe enough to once again walk to the grocery store. Christina Estes, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And KJZZ's Christina Estes joins me now to talk more about the series. Christina, how easy or hard was it to get people to open up about this?
Well, getting people to talk about it was easy. Getting them to talk about it on the radio where we use their name, not so easy. No one wanted to come across as uncaring, and no one I talked to was. and that really stood out to me while working on this series. Despite some neighborhoods and businesses dealing with some pretty bad stuff, the people I talk with, they're not just complaining, they are willing to help. They want to make things better.
The series is about homelessness, but we also heard residents and business owners mention panhandlers. There is a difference there, right?
Yes, panhandlers may or may not be homeless. Holding a sign that reads homeless doesn't make it true, just like asking for money does not mean that you're going to spend it on food. The one thing we can say with certainty, though, is that panhandling makes people uncomfortable, and that's not good for business. While many retailers admit it is a problem, few wanted to talk about it. The convenience store chain Quick Trip, which is known as QT, that's the exception. Here's corporate spokesman Mike Thornbrew.
We recognize that it's an issue everywhere, and nobody is immune from it. That's why we really try and to be diligent and have a plan in place if we see it and try to deal with it as quickly as we can. We've been pretty successful, but it's a problem, unfortunately, that's never going to go away.
The reason he says it's never going away is because courts have ruled that asking for money is considered free speech.
But what about the limits according to Arizona state law?
There are limits. It's illegal to aggressively solicit. For example, if I tell you no, you have to stop asking. You also can't follow me, can't touch me, and you can't get too close to people using ATMs.
Well, then what about panhandlers on street corners or the ones we see on the freeway exit ramps?
Yes, that is a question we heard a lot. So I checked with the Phoenix City Prosecutor's Office and the Arizona Department of Transportation. In a nutshell, no one is going after panhandlers specifically. All the legal language focuses on public safety, not panhandling. So if someone's on a public sidewalk next to the freeway ramp, they can pretty much be there as long as they're not creating a public safety issue.
But what about the medians in the street? Didn't Phoenix pass a law about that a couple of years ago?
Yes, it is illegal to stop or remain in the road or the median or a raised traffic island. Again, the law is focused on public safety, not panhandling. Phoenix has no code that specifically bans panhandling, but they used to. At one time, it was illegal to solicit from a vehicle in Phoenix. But the city prosecutor's office says Phoenix no longer enforces that ordinance because about 5 years ago, a federal court ruled a similar law in Redondo Beach, California, was unconstitutional.
You heard from several experts who suggest people give their time or money to social service agencies or charities rather than give directly to panhandlers. Why is that?
Well, if you give someone money, you could be prolonging their homelessness by providing what they need to stay on the streets. That could put their health, their life at risk. It is a very personal decision, as Mo Gallegos with Phoenix's Human Services Department told me.
I always ask myself, who am I doing this for? Them or me, because I feel better when I do it. And if that's what I'm doing, I need to find a more productive way of doing that. Now, that's just me. You or someone else might think, hey, I really feel good and I know it's going to help them. But even if it doesn't, I've got to do my part. You know what? If you believe that, then you're going to do what you're going to do.
As we continue our series tomorrow, reporter Stina Sieg will tell us about some specific programs designed to help the homeless.
We have more information along with photos and videos at homeless.kjzz.org. That's homeless.kjzz.org. And Christine Estes, thank you.
You're welcome.